Well, I bring greetings from First Baptist Church, Vernon. Grace and peace be with you this morning. It is good to be here. As Gary said, I spend many weekends here in courses, and it was, well, we won't talk about that. That was just a lot of tough work, wasn't it, Gary? But you know, it was well worth it. This morning, well, when Jack asked me to speak for him this morning, he sent me a list of 7 different scriptures. But he didn't say whether I was supposed to talk on all 7 of them, or pick one, or... So we're going to do something kind of in the middle. We're talking about sacrifice this morning. Not an easy topic, but one that we have to address at times. What I'd like to start off with first is to say there's sacrifice and there's an investment. Our son is at college in Castlegar, and every once in a while, of course, you get the little email. Could you send me some money? Nowadays it's so easy now because you just go online and you click a few buttons and put in the amount, and then you get to the last button there, and it says, this transaction will be irreversible once you push that button. In other words, once you push that button, the money is his, and you don't have any control over it anymore. And he sees it pop up, and he says, okay, guys, partying tonight, you know? But that's an investment, we hope. He's going in to be an RN, so hopefully when he's done that, and in our old age, he can look after us. That's an investment. Sacrifice is different. One of these scriptures Jack gave me was about the widow. The widow who came up to the temple and put 2 small copper coins into the offering. This woman gave today's meal, tomorrow's meal maybe, and who knows what else in those 2 small coins. She did it simply out of love for her God. She did it in faith to her God. But she was not looking at it as an investment. In other words, she wasn't saying, Lord, if I put these 2 coins in there, I expect some food on my table when I get home. No. That's not the sort of thing she was doing. But you know, I used to do that. And I want to tell you a story. It happened quite a few years ago on a nice, bright, sunny Sunday afternoon. I was sitting on the porch, basking in the sunshine, watching my cat play in the grass, and I was making a deal with God. Now, you have to understand the context. My wife, Gail, had stayed home with the kids when they were young. So with only 1 small salary, we really couldn't afford our own home. So the steps I was sitting on was a rented 4-plex. And we'd finally been able to put together a little bit of money, and we're looking at houses, but they were all either money pits or, you know, too small. So here I was sitting on this porch, frustrated, and I made a deal with God. I said, God, if you get us into our house, our own house, I will go anywhere and do anything you want. I did not understand what I'd said until quite a bit later. In fact, there must have been something in that sunshine because, you know, I didn't leave it at that. I said, God, while you're at it, Nice big kitchen for Gail, fireplace, a garage, nice big front porch near Gail's work so she can walk, and near the airport so I can watch the planes take off and land. Nothing like being cheeky, right? Exactly 1 week later, to the day, we were looking at the paper and Gail says, "Hey, here's a house in here." And it wasn't in the regular ads, it was in the corner. It was a spec house being built by a builder. And she said, "Well, let's go look at it." So we did. That happened to be a Sunday and it was all locked up so we couldn't see in it. But we made an arrangement with the builder to see it the next day. And so we went through it and looked at it, and then we said, well, you know, we don't have very much of a down payment. And so he said, "Well, tell you what, come by my office after work and we'll talk about it." So we went to his office, we talked about it. He phoned up our mortgage manager at our bank, and she said, "I'll crunch some numbers and get back to you." And the next day she phoned and said, "The house is yours." Exactly 9 days after I had made my deal with God. Okay? It had a big kitchen, a fireplace, a garage. It was 5 minutes from Gail's work. And a great big porch for me to sit on and watch the airplanes take off and land. All of a sudden, I remembered what I had said. And I started to sweat. And I started to say, "Lord, is this, you know, what do you want me to do?" I had visions of, you know, going to some snake-infested jungle somewhere, or, you know, taken somewhere where who knows what would happen. It's funny, in the end, we ended up staying at exactly the same place we are. We're in the same church we've been for over 30 years and working there. But you know something? I'm sure God had a chuckle when I made that promise. But when he looked at it, he said, "I'm going to bless you. You've asked for something. I'm going to bless you. But you know something? Those promises you made, those are something that you have to look into yourself and see yourself what you're going to do there." You see, I made a deal with God. And I thought one would follow the other. And God said, "Just follow me." That wasn't a sacrifice. You know why? Because I got something out of it. That was an investment. And even though I'm working full time as a minister, that's a bonus. In the end, I won all the way around. So it certainly wasn't a sacrifice. Sacrifice costs. Sacrifice hurts. I'm sure you've heard people tell you that sacrifice, when you give something, if it doesn't hurt, then it's not a sacrifice. In money, in physical goods, when we look at that widow, that was a sacrifice. Because it hurt. She would be feeling the pangs of hunger for some time. Sacrifice in many ways. You know, I teach a youth class up in Vernon, and they all have their little phones, and we did a little fundraiser for our local mission, and we were going to take the money down to them, and I wrote a letter for them to sign. You know, they, as far as they're concerned, they would just, if they could, they would text the money to them. But it takes, to sit down and take the time to write a letter is is not something they think about. But in many ways, to write a personal letter in your own handwriting is a sacrifice of time, showing whoever you wrote to that you care. It's a sacrifice in attitudes. You know, one of the we think when we hear attitudes, we think anger and all that kind of stuff. But really, one of the worst attitudes that we can have is self-pity. And so we have to look at that and say, is that really what I want? Is that really what God wants of me? And sacrifice that attitude and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Sacrifice what we would get out of that by people pitying us. Jesus talked about the cost of being a disciple. He laid it out pretty clear. You're going to be arrested, persecuted, killed, hated, all kinds of things. When the apostles said, we will follow you anywhere. Jesus was laying out very clearly what their sacrifice would be. And yet in another passage, he laid out the rewards of all who would follow him, what they would be. Sacrifice, in the end, really is about control. We love to control our lives. We hate it when we're not in control. One of the most hated pastimes in our lives is waiting in line, right? Waiting in line somewhere, going to a bank, to a, you know, at the checkout, whatever. Waiting in line. You know why? Because we have no control over how long we're going to be there. Those people in front of us, they control how long we're going to be in that line. And so we have issues with control. And that's something that goes through our whole lives often. So sacrifice is truly where we make a conscious decision to risk that control. The widow made a conscious decision to put her money in the offering and to pass over control of her life to God. The rich man, remember him? Rich man who came to Jesus and said, teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He was figuring, well, you know, I've done all this, I've kept commandments, I've done all that, honored my mother and father and all that stuff. But he figured there might be something else that Jesus could tell him to do. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. The rich man went away sad, not because he would maybe really miss his riches, but because by being rich, he somehow thought he was in control of his life. And he did not want to give up that control. Giving up control to be a follower of Jesus, to him, was just too much. But risk is something that we don't always understand. Risk is something that is inherent in our lives, in our Christian lives, in our following of Jesus, in our serving of other people. Only when we live by faith in God can we risk, truly risk, our lives, our livelihood, everything. But you know, there is a fine line between being silly and being open and following God. In other words, risk can be something that we just do. You know, we decide we're going to go jump off a cliff without a parachute, see how soft the ground is down there, and, you know, that's something stupid. But if we do it with a parachute, that's something that is, well, most people don't think it's stupid anyway. Risk is something that we have to understand when it comes to sacrifice and control. There's a little thing on Facebook that I copied, and I made a print of it, and I put it on my wall in my office. It's a picture of Francis Chan. You might have seen it come around recently. And he's standing at a pulpit preaching, and he's saying, "Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." When we go after things that matter, when we do things, try to be successful at things that matter, most often it involves risk, most often it involves sacrifice. Things that don't matter, like comfort, you know, we thrive on comfort, especially in our country. You know, it's almost like a religion in this country. If it makes something makes us uncomfortable, we don't want to go there. We don't want to do that. But when it comes to things that matter, risk and sacrifice play a big part. Sacrifice changes us. Sacrifice and risk makes us different people. Sacrifice and risk can take us and point us in a new direction. We have a young lady, well, she's not at the church anymore, she's at going to the University of Manitoba. She was here last year, and she was an international student from Nigeria. And very deep-thinking young lady. Recently on a blog on her Facebook site, she wrote, she was struggling with things. And she said, she wrote, "To want more in life, you have to be prepared to give more. You may feel like you're sacrificing so much for nothing, but the truth is you haven't even started." She had a vision of her life ahead. She's taking law, and she wants to be, her ambition to be a legal aid lawyer. In other words, helping people who cannot afford the law. She's even talking about going back to her own country and doing it for free. You feel like you're sacrificing so much for nothing, but the truth is, you haven't even started. Change. In that young lady's life, the sacrifices that are ahead of her will change her in ways that she does not even know. Sacrifice is about love and grace. When I was looking at this, I was wondering, what is the real definition of love? Someone I was just talking to said, there's how many million words in the English language, and how many of them are talk about love? Love is simply using God's given power, one's God-given power of choice, to say or to do that which is in the best interest or the best good of another person, regardless of feeling. That's from Douglas Cooper's book, Living God's Love. Love is simply using one's God-given power of choice to say or do that which is in the best interest and the best good of another person, regardless of feeling. So when we love, truly love someone, we give up control. We risk. And when we love, we change. We make a choice to risk ourselves with someone who probably or maybe may not be able to return that love, or maybe not, certainly would not be able to, I'm thinking in the case of someone who I met who was homeless, to extend love to them, his life had come to a point where his sole focus was on getting food and a place to sleep. And so he could not return his love or love for anything. He looked at it as, well, it was just his thing that he had to do. Dare we love people who cannot give back to us? Dare we love people who cannot return to us our investment? Sacrificial love is risky. It takes away our control. But you know something? That's something Jesus called us to do. When we follow him, we are called to love every single person that has ever been created. Every person we meet, we are to love. And it's hard. And it's risky. But Douglas Cooper says again, God needs men and women who will dare to love now. Dare to love in the face of hate and immense evil. Dare to love Jesus. Dare to love themselves as sons and daughters of God. Dare to love the unlovely. Dare to love their enemies. Dare to love, though it may cost them their popularity. And dare to love, though it may cost them their lives. Jesus calls us to a sacrificial love of others. So grace, sacrifice is about love, and it's about grace. When I go into a restaurant, I tip the server, no matter how well she did, or he did. I tip them not because they've done a good job. I tip them because I love them as someone made in the image of God. And sometimes they are, well, I'm sure you've all experienced bad service in a restaurant and bad food. But what does that, when that person, what does it mean, say about that person? It usually says that they've got a situation in their life which they can't handle, and they're taking it out on you. I would rather call it gracing instead of tipping, because you're giving something to them, no matter what. Because that's what God did to us. God gave his son to us while we were yet sinners, while we are doing terrible things. So tipping can be a form of sacrifice. Now, up till now, we've talked all about personal sacrifice. But we as a church, First Baptist Vernon, First Baptist Kelowna, any of the First Baptists all around the country, and any other one, also should be looking at what can we do that is beyond our means. There's a little church in Kitchener, Ontario, well, I don't know if it's little or not, I don't know how big it is, called Highland Baptist Church. I'm not sure where I got the lead to their website, but when I did and I read their mission statement, I was blown away, because I've never seen a mission statement like this. It says simply, God calls us to practice the compassion and love of Jesus Christ locally and globally in risk-taking mission and service, and to nurture a diverse and thriving church family where all people of every ethnicity may worship and serve God with joy. There's two words in that mission statement that I've never heard before in a mission statement, and that is risk-taking. I've never heard a church say, we're going to take risks in reaching out to people and serving people. You know, mission, true mission, there's a cost to it. There's no guarantee that we'll get a return. There's no guarantee that when you go out and help someone on the street that they're going to come to your church and become a member and contribute. There's no guarantee that when you help out at the local mission that those people there will come by later and pay you for the meal. Mission is risk. And that, in that way, churches sacrifice too. Should be willing to sacrifice whatever they have in order to spread the gospel of Christ. In risk-taking mission. So, sacrifice. Is it too hard? Malachi, in his first chapter of his book, he quoted the Lord as saying to the people, the Lord was saying, you say, it's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my commands. Think of it, animals that have been stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as this? It was too hard for the people at that time to say, I'm going to give the best out of my flock, the absolute best, knowing that it's going to wreak havoc with their gene pool. You know, that they're, you know, the best is going, I'm left with the rest. And sacrifice. Is it too uncomfortable? Sacrifice and risk really takes a shot at our comfort. Really takes us out of our comfort zone, as the saying goes. John Ortberg put it this way, to be a follower of Christ, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value in your life. As the ultimate value in your life. It doesn't mean that they can't have padded chairs and so forth, but the ultimate value in your life. And he says that's sobering news to both, most of us, because we're really into comfort. And we are. Sacrifice is not comfortable. Sometimes it can be embarrassing. Sometimes, definitely, almost all the time, it can risk something in our life. It can take the control away from part of our life that we may not want to give up control on. But that's truly what it's about. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was weeping and praying, and he said finally, "Not my will, Father, but yours." At that point, he gave up total control the rest of his life to God. And when he went later in the garden and met Judas, and Judas gave him a kiss, he told Judas, he knew at that point that he lost all control of the next few days of his life on earth. Sacrifice is about giving up control. How much do we really believe God? How much do we really believe that he loves us and will look after us? Only when we take a risk. C.S. Lewis said, "Only a real risk tests the reality of our belief." In other words, we can live in a very comfortable Christian world where we don't have to do anything that is risky or takes control away from us. But do we really believe that this amazing God who created the universe, who created each one of us, who looks after each one of us, do we really believe in him? And that whatever we give, that whatever we do in sacrifice to him, that he will look after? That we will, no matter what we give, what sacrifice we make, that he will still love us and protect us through into his arms in heaven when we finally get there. Sacrifice really tests our beliefs. Not just investments. Not just, "God, if you do this, I'll do this. Or if I do this for you, Lord, will you take care of that?" Those are investments. And God doesn't make deals. He will love you and give you things that you need most in your life. But he won't make a deal with you. And so, sacrifice. Risking all. Risking control of our very lives. Risking control as a church of what happens to this body, to God's church here. Sacrifice, think of it, is a risk. By the way, we still live in that house and we enjoy it very much. God has blessed us. And he's blessed us in other ways. Far beyond, I could not out-promise God, no matter what I did. I could not out-promise him. I could not out-sacrifice him. I could not out-give him. And that's really the lesson. We cannot. And so how much is our control worth? How much do we truly believe that God is in control? Amen.